Hey, Lizards, Gizmo here. I wanted to share some of the cigars we'll be smoking in April and May, so you can smoke along with us if you'd like. For Cubans, we've got Monte Cristo Especialis No. 2, San Cristobal de la Habana El Principe, Cohiba Siglo 5, H. Upman Half Corona, and Hoyo de Monterey Double Corona. And for New Worlds, we've got E. Picarillo Allegiance in Sidekick, Davidoff Late Hour in Robusto, Aging Room Cuatro Nicaragua Sonata in Maestro, Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Sin Compromiso Selección No. 4, and the Davidoff Winston Churchill in Bellicoso, with much, much more to come. Have a suggestion? Email us, hello@loungelizardspod.com. That's hello@loungelizardspod.com. And now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Lounge Lizards Podcast. It's so good to have you here. It's a leisure and lifestyle podcast founded on our love of premium cigars, as well as whiskey, travel, food, work, and whatever else we feel like getting into. My name is Gizmo, and tonight I'm joined by Rooster, Grinder, Senator Pagoda, and Bam Bam. And our plan is to smoke a cigar, drink some whiskey, talk about life, and of course, have some laughs. So take this as your 35th official invitation to join us and become a card-carrying lounge lizard. Plan to meet us here once a week. We're going to smoke a New World cigar tonight, share our thoughts on it, and give you our formal lizard rating. We discuss Aging Room's unique brand, our favorite products for smoking outside in the summer, and Senator recaps his trip to Greece, all among a variety of other things for the next hour. So sit back, get your favorite drink, light up a cigar and enjoy as we pair six-year-aged Whistle Pig Piggyback Rye Whiskey with Aging Room Cuatro in Espressivo. A Nicaraguan Robusto tonight on the pod, the Aging Room Cuatro. It's called Espressivo. And it is a beautiful box-pressed cigar. Double banded with the Aging Room band and then the orange Nicaraguan band on it. I'll tell you guys, Senator mentioned this before we came on. It smells amazing.
Yeah, it is a chocolate bomb.
Chocolate bomb. Yeah. I mean, it's really, really nice.
Beautifully constructed.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly gives me high expectations for the flavor of this thing. Mm. And given we could talk about it, that it was its sister cigar was rated number one a few years ago in Cigar Aficionado.
Right.
And it's had a lot of hype around it. Yeah, it's had a lot of hype around these cigars.
What's the Vitola on? I'm not sure.
It's a Torpedo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Torpedo.
Okay, yeah.
So this is the Robusto in the same line, same blend. Yeah, and I'm very excited. So let's cut this thing. See, we're getting on the cold draw here.
I feel like this is a slightly shorter Robusto.
Yeah, it's listed as a Robusto. I also saw that it was called the Parejo. A box press Parejo, but it is...
Because an Exclusivo is definitely a little longer than this.
It's 5 inches by 50, this cigar.
Okay, maybe the Exclusivo is
five and a half, I think. Yeah. I think so. So I've seen a couple different things. It's listed most places as a Robusto. It's a Nicaraguan Puro. All aspects of the cigar from Nicaragua.
Getting a floral on the dry note.
Really?
Yeah, cold draw.
I'm not getting floral. I'm getting dried fruit.
Yeah, dried fruit. Yeah.
That's a negative.
I'm definitely getting floral.
Thank you, Rooster.
No floral.
Little floral. A lot of dried fruit. Little floral. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It tastes like springtime.
It does. And the draw is wide open for me. How's your draw, guys?
Fantastic.
Good. That's great. Great draw.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Hmm. Yeah, it's very nice. Cool. This is a very confusing brand. We could talk about it for me. But let's light this thing first. I'm very confused by this. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
I'm very confused by the Aging Room brand. But yeah, boys, let's light this thing. The Aging Room Cuatro Nicaragua Espressivo, a 50 ring gauge by 5-inch cigar. And like I said, it's a Nicaraguan Puro.
Do you remember what you paid for this?
I do. I paid higher retail. I paid about $12.75 for each of these.
Okay.
But you can get them, find them on the internet about $8.50 a stick. $9 a stick if you're buying in bulk. But I supported my local tobacconist and picked these up for tonight.
Wide open draw. Yeah,
man. Yeah.
Same.
Smoke is pretty velvety, I have to admit.
Definitely could taste the Nicaraguan on the light.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, great combustion.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, rich, woody.
But not like a deep, dark.
Yeah.
It's got cocoa. rich flavor, yeah.
It's not blowing me away on the light, I got to tell you.
I love it. I love it.
I think it's satisfying on the light.
Yeah.
Smell the aroma that's coming off the smoke. Yeah. It's, tasty.
I just get really, like I think Grinder was saying, like just really rich, deep cocoa notes throughout this cigar.
The what did you call this? The line burn or something before? The line?
Yeah, at the burn line.
The aroma slash burn line is really unique to me. Like I don't something that I don't smell.
Yeah, there's definitely something different frequently. Coming off of it. Yeah. I want to say it's kind of Padron-like, but it's also very much not.
Mm. No, I look, we say nothing compares to Padron, and, nope. and that's accurate, but it is Padron-like.
Like, yeah.
Well, because, you know, you have the similarities between the Nicaraguan tobaccos. I mean, sure. This is a puro Nicaraguan. Right. So.
The construction is fantastic.
Yeah.
Combustion.
I mean, the dark seams are basically wrapper. Invisible.
Is the binder, filler, and wrapper all Nicaraguan?
Yeah, it's all Nicaraguan.
Yeah. Comes in a bright orange. And when I say bright orange, I mean like
bright orange box.
Halloween orange
yeah.
box it's of unique. 20 cigars. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the Torpedo was the number one cigar of the year in 2019, which I saw a lot of people that rave about this thing. I know personal experience from Senator. You can say it.
Yeah. So look, I wasn't excited about reviewing this cigar because the Torpedo I found to be very harsh and... Ironically, aging room needs age. It just needs age.
To mellow out.
This on the light is way better already than that Torpedo.
Yeah. This is smooth.
So I bought a box of those just before the pandemic or early on into the pandemic, and I like this better.
Well, you still had a COVID palate at that point.
Maybe.
Is he still now?
No, that was pre-having COVID, before having COVID, yeah.
Have you revisited the pyramid?
I have not.
So
I remember this.
I have some that I've been sitting for like since that time.
Maybe it's worth a try.
Like two, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they should be.
Maybe they're better with it.
They
yeah.
Probably, try this on the Retrohale, guys.
Yeah, I
the
have.
The Retrohale is like...
It's really...
It's great.
It's chocolatey.
Hmm.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Retrohale because we haven't talked about this. I don't think at length, but I did get an email from a listener once and I just replied and kind of explained it. But the listener asked, what does it mean?
Just don't spill another drink, Pagoda.
I just got a new phone and I just don't know how it bloody works. It's ridiculous.
There's a little clicker
on the iPhone,
the side.
There's a little button.
There's no more button.
It's on the side. On the left side. Every iPhone. Yeah.
The left side.
The left side, there's a little, no, not the volume. There's a little mechanical button that you switch to silence the phone.
Got it. My Lord.
Oh, listen, Gizmo's you learn something new every day. You learn something new every day.
Don't edit this.
You learn something new every day.
Pagoda has met the iPhone.
I'm technologically challenged.
15 years later.
Wait, did you go from an Android?
No, I've always had an iPhone, but I had the one with the... I had an iPhone 8 where you would press that button, now there's no more button. And like, I'm like,
I just established there's still a fucking button.
I'm the same button in the same place as 2007.
I'm still confused.
Anyway, Retrohale.
Yeah. So back to the Retrohale. So I had a listener email saying, hey, you guys mention the Retrohale all the time. What the hell is that? And I just sent an email back. But as someone, you often mention the Retrohale.
That's how I smoke cigars.
So talk to us about that briefly.
I Retrohale every time I smoke cigars. That's, you know, depending on the cigar, sometimes I won't Retrohale enough or I will Retrohale too much and I'll get a little sneezy because it really kind of overwhelms your nasal passages. But basically, you take it in your mouth and you release the air out of your nose. Mm. And it takes, you know, I've encountered like former cigarette smokers who just can't do that. They can't help it. It immediately goes into their lungs. But you just have to kind of push it out and blow it out of your nose.
Hmm.
And the idea behind it is that there's so many other sense receptors in your nose that, you know, when you taste a cigar, you're tasting it on your lips, you're getting the Cuban twang, you're getting whatever, you know, is on the the wrapper, if it's oily or not, blah, 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 blah. And then obviously when you first take it into your mouth, there's flavors there. And then there's a finish and that's all well and good. But when you Retrohale, it's just like another level of taste. And it's like a tertiary taste receptor and it's fantastic because you get so many different levels of taste in a cigar. And for me, the Retrohale is always the best way.
So when you draw your cigar, right, how often are you pushing it out through your nose? When you're smoking a cigar that you enjoy the Retrohale?
90% of the time.
So you're often pushing it out through your nose.
because I just did it. And on this cigar specifically, I do it maybe once or twice a cigar. On this cigar, I'm definitely getting more of a spice bomb through the nose, which is very, it's very satisfying. It's very good.
I like to do the combo where you retrohale and out of your mouth and you get, you know.
I will admit, I retrohale more on a Cuban than a New World cigar.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, because they're not as harsh as the New World. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yeah, I would agree.
That's really it.
Yeah. I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
My allergies don't help, man. That's why I can't do it.
Yeah.
Makes you sneeze. Not everybody can retrohale, right? I mean, is it?
I think anatomically everybody can, but I think the
takes practice.
It takes practice, and you have to learn how to do it. You're right.
I mean, it's not always easy. I mean, honestly, when I have retrohale, it's always by accident. I'm serious. I can't do it on demand. I'll just be smoking a cigar. I'm like, oh wow, that just came out of my nose.
Yeah.
And you just get different notes out of that.
Yeah. Sometimes it comes out of my ears.
What's going on here? I'm really digging this cigar though.
This is really good so far, I gotta say.
Yeah. This is nothing like that Torpedo. This is really enjoyable.
It's a different cigar.
That's so funny you say that because it's the same blend.
It is. Yeah.
But that's every cigar we say that.
Different shape.
Like there's a reason that we love the Exclusivo, and not that there's anything wrong with the other Vitolas of the 64.
Don't forget Padron the Millennium.
The Millennium.
Between a Toro and a Pyramid, it's a totally different experience.
I'll only smoke the Pyramid. That's it.
It really is.
But I wonder if the blend, if they change the blend.
It's unlikely.
Because with the size, I mean, they're using different
proportions. They do.
Proportions of different leaf,
but
right?
Even when they don't, we know this, right? Like the proportion of the wrapper to the filler changes based on the size.
I don't think it's linear either. Like when you proportion up a cigar from like a Robusto to a Church or a Toro, I don't think you just be like, okay, 10% of this leaf, 20% of that, and 30%, whatever it is, and then be like, okay, a bigger size, we're still using 10% of it. I think you the right way is to, well, I don't know, I'm not a blender, but certain tobaccos have more rich flavor, and maybe you keep that one at 10% or something like that. And that ratios don't, they change. And simply just keeping that ratio static across the different Vitolas, maybe that's not the right way to go. Or that's maybe what they want to do and change it entirely. Who knows?
Yeah. And I think the other thing that must be considered too, especially, maybe when you're going from a Robusto to a Churchill, the person who's sitting down to smoke that Churchill is committing quite a bit more time than a Robusto smoker, maybe double.
Yeah.
So, you have to take them on a little bit longer of a journey.
Right.
So that may contribute to it, too. Yeah. There's not so much of a difference between this and, I would say, the time commitment in that Torpedo that got number one that you guys were talking about, not really enjoying. But, that could play into it as well. I'm not quite sure. But apparently this is a very similar blend to the sister cigars in this line.
It could also be personal preference, right? Because I've realized a lot of the people I know who love Toros, right? Like late hour. I know I love the Robustos and I love the Churchill. I'm not a big fan of the Toros, but the guys who love the Toros still prefer the Toros to the other two Vitolas. So it could be personal preference. I don't know what really drives it. But I think among our group, it seems like we tend to prefer similar size cigars.
Well, I think in the U.S. market, the people prefer a bigger ring gauge. So I think there's more Toros maybe being sold here than in European Europe. Market.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah.
But just going back to my point, I think for every cigar, there is a Vitola that smokes best.
Agreed.
It's just the perfect balance or ratio of wrapper to filler. And on some cigars, that's a smaller ring gauge. On others, it's a larger ring gauge. We don't smoke a ton of Toros or a ton of 54 ring gauge sticks, but like the Partagas E2, whatever they do with that cigar, like at that large ring gauge, it's perfect.
Yes, it is.
It's a great smoke. There are many other cigars I just don't say the same thing about in that same size. So I'm what I've learned already just from, being a quarter of the way through this cigar, the aging room, I think, smokes way better in a smaller ring gauge at this Robusto than it does that Torpedo a bit of a larger ring gauge.
That's right. Yeah.
The smoke output on this is really great.
The room is foggy. Yeah.
And the burn is perfect.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. This flavor profile is like, it kind of brings me back to when I first started smoking cigars and the summer. This is a good summer cigar.
Yeah, and it's not that heavy. It's not like I could smoke this in the daytime.
That's true.
You can smoke this in the morning.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not, the strength isn't there like you would typically get from like Nicaraguan cigars. So this, I can see this with a, I mean, it'd probably go great with coffee.
Do you remember? Espresso coffee. Do you remember the El Senador that we smoked?
Yeah.
I could kind of compare it to that a bit.
I can't, I mean, so I'm going a similar place.
Yeah.
I think this is Padron-like. Like, I'm going to stand by this. The same way I said this El Senador is Padron-like.
Yes, it is.
Nothing will ever be a Padron. But similar flavor profiles, and exactly, I love how Rooster described, these are full-flavored cigars, but they're not strong.
Not heavy.
You could smoke this in the afternoon and get a ton of flavor, but not a nicotine rush or buzz or anything like that. And that's very much in, I think, a lot of our wheelhouse. Yeah. And so I'm pleased so far.
It's impressive so far, and the smoke is very velvety.
And, you know, for the price point, I mean, I think this, so far, it's been behaving well.
I think the word Bam Bam just used was velvety, and that is, I think that's so
that's a great
appropriate
word for it.
For this.
Yeah.
It's a velvety, the way, even just holding it, the look of it, the smoke, the draw is fantastic, the burn is pure. I mean,
yeah, and I love the band on this. Like the orange really pops on the dark cigar.
Yeah, it looks great.
You know, the black band and then the orange, it really, you know, it sticks out.
So I mentioned as we came into this that the Aging Room brand confuses me. And it's because there's so many different kinds. And what I've learned, so the founder of the line is a guy named Rafael Nadal, no relation to the tennis player, spelled differently. But so this guy, what's interesting about his story, you know, not only he had a music career and then he went into healthcare and then he decided to get into cigars. But what's interesting about him is unlike the other guys that have had similar, you know, Rocky Patel, you know, Pete Johnson, other guys that have started cigar brands recently or fairly recently, he doesn't have his own factory. He doesn't have his own team of people. He pairs up with other manufacturers to jump in and create Aging Room cigars.
That's not that uncommon, though. Like, for example, like most of the cigars that Rocky makes are not made by him.
But aren't
most
they
of
made
the cigars in the market are made by?
But aren't
you know,
they
Placentia.
Made in one consistent factory?
No. What differs Rafael Nadal is that he did not have a cigar background. He did come here from Cuba like 40 years ago. But he got into the music business and he did something else.
Yep,
so he wasn't really a cigar guy per se. I mean, a lot of the other guys like were in the cigar field and they got into, you know, production of cigars, whether they rolled it or have somebody else roll it.
What's interesting specifically about this brand is that he pairs, like this one is made by AJ Fernandez. So what he does is he'll pair up with different manufacturers and different factories. So each of the Aging Rooms are made in different factories.
I see what you're saying.
Like different, like, you know, Pete Johnson, I think all of his stuff is made in
Jamie Garcia's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Pepe Garcia.
Pepe Garcia's factory. Aging Room is just, it's like a strategic partnership.
Well, it's not vertical integration.
Yeah, it's not vertical integration.
You know, he has different suppliers that manufacture the cigars. I'm sure he's very intimately involved in the selection of the tobaccos.
Yeah. Well, typically he doesn't grow his own tobacco, so he has to go to a source.
So he's a marketing company,
yes,
but with high standards.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Aging Room. I'm just assuming that's probably the model he's going for.
But who's blending this?
Yeah. So this is AJ Fernandez.
Okay. So AJ blended this?
Yes, blended and they manufactured.
So then it's a pure marketing play.
Yep.
I'm just surprised. I mean, just hearing if AJ Fernandez blended this, I mean, AJ Fernandez blends a zillion cigars, right? His name is on everything. And we've smoked a number of them. And I can't say I'm a huge fan of AJ Fernandez blended cigars. I can't even name one that I would regularly smoke. This is very good.
It is. And this specific partnership with AJ Fernandez, like we said, one cigar of the year three years ago.
I don't think AJ's ever gotten like as high rankings for any of the cigars he's manufactured as he has with Aging Room. I don't know.
I think you're right, and it's pretty impressive that Nadal said I want to make a a cigar brand, went out, found these manufacturers, partnered with them, and has created a blend that has become very successful in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is quite delicious. And I want to revisit the cigar of the year.
The Pyramid.
Yeah, and you have a few of those from a few years ago.
It's called the Maestro. Maestro, by the way.
I would love to try one of those and see what it's like.
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
You got it.
So look at the construction on this. The ash is really holding well.
It really is.
It's about an inch long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what does this look like right now in everyone's hand?
It's a Padron.
Yeah.
That, looks like a Padron. It's crazy. It's impressive that they're able to come even in the same conversation as a Padron.
So now here's a question. If you have a Padron and you have this laying one next to each other, what are you grabbing?
Well, we know the answer.
I'll take the band off and smoke this and say it's a Padron.
Is this a does it have a, like, we've aged this for how many years or something?
I don't believe there's an age statement, no. Which you would think with the name that it would come with that, but there is no specific age statement that I've seen.
And that's also why the name's bullshit, because I'm telling you, if you have that Torpedo, this exact cigar in a Torpedo Young, or they'll claim aged. It's not aged. It is so harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere. I really remember just in the back of your throat, you just feel like this cigar desperately needs time. And this is not like that. So I just have to think that maybe by getting more of the wrapper, it does it a lot of favors.
So this is a 52 ring gauge? 50
by 5.
So the Pyramid is a 52.
By 6.5, I think.
I get that a lot with AJ cigars, though. Like the harshness. And I probably smoke more AJs than you guys or have.
Yeah, what else is AJ known for?
What doesn't he? So he started working exclusively through Cigar International, and that's where he kind of built up his brand. And he made a few different brands for CI that gained a lot of traction. And then when people realized how talented this guy was, everyone was flooding to him to like do partnerships. So like he did one with everyone under the sun, Romeo and Juliet, Monte Cristo, all the legacy Cuban brands. And then everyone and their mother came to him and said, you know, let's do a blend together.
Does he do the Monte white label?
No. He does Monte by Monte Cristo.
Okay. That's a decent steak.
Didn't he just recently release the Ramon Iones
New World? He did.
And did you try that?
I did, and I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So the Ramon Iones by AJ Fernandez, apparently there was some story that I think...
It was his father, right?
AJ Fernandez's father's favorite cigar was Cuban Ramon Iones that we all know and love. And so I think in honor of his dad, he attempted to make a New World Ramon Iones for the brand. And I did not enjoy that cigar.
I think it's impossible, honestly, to try to replicate Cuban tobacco, anything out of Cuba, with a Nicaraguan, you know, terroir and soy, you know, everything about Nicaragua.
100%. And the funny thing is, when I tried that cigar, I didn't go in expecting at all for that cigar to taste like a Cuban. I expected it to taste like a New World, but hopefully just be enjoyable like this is so far. And just using New Worlds as a benchmark, nothing about that cigar was enjoyable to me.
This is a great stick so far.
I got to say, I was just about to say that. We're surprising. About a quarter of the way in. I'm really enjoying this.
Yep.
I'm getting a saltiness right now out of it. This is shockingly really good.
And I'm getting raisin on the back end.
You said velvety. It's very
coats your mouth.
Yeah, the coating of your mouth is really nice, and it's not harsh at all.
Yeah, my ash is almost up to the orange band.
Yeah, incredible.
Look at that, and I love the shape.
Yeah, great shape. Feels good in the hand.
I'm going to go back to my statement earlier. This is a great summer cigar to pull out now, and just smoke late at night on your deck. Watching TV, just like, vibing out by yourself.
On the Rover.
On the Rover.
On the Rover.
How great is the Rover?
Oh. We all have a Rover.
Game changer.
The Rover is a lifestyle.
The Rover's a lifestyle, as Pooba has said.
Yeah, thanks to Pooba for introducing us to
Rover. So we have to tell the Rover story.
Yeah.
So let's explain it.
And the credit goes to Pooba. And Pooba, I think, first told me about, this, and then this spread like wildfire. So... prior to owning a proper Rover, you guys would come over sometimes. We'd have a fire pit out in my yard, and I would just have like a table that I put a TV on so we could watch sports while we're smoking around the fire.
The good old days.
And Pooba one time, he says to me, he's like, Senator, you're a rover. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? He's like, you're a rover and you don't even know it. I'm like, again, what does that mean? And he's like, you have to get this thing called the rover. It's basically a TV stand on wheels, and you can just rove around your yard, your deck, the patio, wherever you want to bring this thing. You just, the TV follows you. And he's like, now you're a rover, but it's stationary, right? Like I had it on just a table, so I can't just easily move this. I got to lift it up everywhere I'm bringing it. And I remember he literally texted me. He's like, if you're not going to buy this for yourself, I'm going to order it to your house. So you have to get one of these. So I'm like, don't buy me one of these things. I'll order one and I'll see how it goes. And it was life-changing.
Life-changing.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Just anywhere you need this thing to go, it's there. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have two.
I have two rovers.
Two rovers.
And the funny thing is, even, you know, we have friends and
I didn't know that, by the way. You have two.
They've got just a great backyard, great setup. And I remember we had them over for dinner and they saw the rover for the first time. And it was just out in like the corner of my deck. You know, we're eating dinner at a table. And the husband, he's like, what is that thing? And it's like so many people have come over. Like they always ask when they see the rover, what is that? And they're like, this is genius. Like I stupidly mounted a TV that you can from some angles in their pool like see. But the fact that you would just be able to move this anywhere around your yard, around the pool, whatever you're trying to do, countless people have come by my house, seen the rover, and literally bought one on Amazon on the spot. They're like $60. They're not expensive. They are life-changing. I will forever be grateful to Pooba.
And as Pooba said, it's a lifestyle.
Yes, it is.
It's a lifestyle.
It's like, you know, like I said, late night, it's kind of heavy air, but then it gets cool off. At night, it's just, you know, smoking a cigar at that time, watching you know, a ball game or something.
And it's easier now to mount those TVs. I mean, imagine like, you know, like 10 years back, those TVs were so
heavy.
Big and heavy
that
you couldn't mount those. I mean, now, I mean, you can, one person can lift a 50, 60-inch, 65-inch TV by themselves and just mount it on the rover and just move it around.
There is some protocol on the adequate size of
you can go up to 65.
This is where we need to return the favor to Pooba.
Yeah. I mean, I went to his house.
Okay? And I think, we've all seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it.
We've all seen it.
Have you ever seen the episode of The Office where Michael Scott invites Jim and Pam over for dinner? And he goes to show them his new, I think it's like a plasma TV.
It's a plasma TV, and it's built. And he says it's built into the wall. And look, it extends. It extends like 2 inches.
It's about 13 inches. It's about 13 inches long.
And then he just stands in front of it.
It's so awkward. And Pooba, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but it's a sin how big his TV is on his rover.
How little his TV
is. Yeah, excuse me. It's so tiny. It's atrocious.
His rover is bigger than the TV.
Yeah, we got to get him a better TV.
I can't speak because the TV I have on my rover right now is also inadequate. I need to kind of level up.
I'm going
to
recommend, I think that the optimal rover size is 55 inches.
Agreed.
And I will say this to all listeners who are considering roving. We're going to need to find a way to like send out the link to this rover because truly everyone.
We'll put the link below.
I'll put the link in the description.
I mean, truly, let's just go around. Right. Rooster has a rover. Grinder has a rover. Gizmo has a rover. I have a rover. And I think that somehow Pooba has a rover.
Yeah, Bam has.
I think
Bam.
Somehow Bam
does not, have
Bam
one.
And Pagoda have not
Bam
yet.
Bam ordered his 8 months ago. He's waiting for it. It's coming.
Bam's waiting for the electrician to come and wire the string lights first.
For $2,500.
But seriously, the vast majority of us have this rover. Yeah. So
Pagoda needs one. Pagoda, you could get one on the deck.
You could put it on your
actually
deck.
We've been talking about it. So But my wife is worried about the aesthetic, so right now she's going to...
No, the aesthetic is fantastic.
It looks great.
I know.
Fantastic.
I understand. She hasn't seen one yet.
But
it's like I need approval from her, you know, just to carry on.
But
oh my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
But to your point, I mean, even my wife thought I was crazy when I first bought one of these. She's like, why would you possibly need this ridiculous thing to put a TV on? And as soon as she saw it, like out on the deck, the number of times, like, we'll want to watch tennis, but like sit outside and we'll just rove around. I mean, it's perfect. But we seriously need to put a link to this for people to be able to buy this.
I will. Yeah, I'll put it in. I'll put it in the episode description. The other thing I think is a necessary accessory.
Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on.
All right, sorry.
I want to get back to the TV size. So I said 55 inches, the optimal TV size. What I need every listener to understand, best value, Roku TVs. You can get a 55-inch Roku for no exaggeration, like $250 to $350 bucks. Awesome. 4K, full smart TV. Cheapest, I think, best setup you can have at a good price, get a Roku TV and a Rover.
I'll put that link in the description too.
Do not spend extra for those TVs that are made for outdoors.
Yes.
They're like $2,000.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. I mean, they're.
And the picture's not even good.
The picture's not that great.
The glass has to be so thick for that to be able to withstand outdoors. It completely distorts and ruins the picture.
I leave mine on my deck, and if it's. And after I'm done, if it's going to rain, I put it underneath the overhang. Yeah, or I've just my deck is right there. I slide it.
I have
right
a cover.
I just bring it right in.
I have an Amazon Basics cover. It was $18, and it's great. It actually is built for the Rover. Like it has a pocket in the back, so you can seal the whole TV. That has a little pocket for remotes and stuff. And I'll leave it outside with the cover on it. It takes 10 seconds to put the cover on. And if I know it's going to like crazy storm or crazy wind, I'll just pull it in the house.
Right.
But it's on my deck in the summer 90% of the time.
The other beauty that I discovered in this, indoor roving.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, I haven't done this.
I do the indoor rove.
I really? Love hearing that.
Yeah. So I do the indoor rove because I'll be working in different parts of the house. And like my office sometimes, I'll put the rover in my office and I'll have it in the background as I'm like banging out emails and shit. It's phenomenal.
I haven't done that.
It roves all over, man.
The utility for me, so like when I bring this in, if it's going to rain or something, like the family room is right adjacent to the deck, I'll bring it in the family room. And if my wife and I are watching something together that maybe is not my first choice of what I would like to watch, and there's like a big sports game on, I'll just have the rover right next to the TV in the family room. I'll have sports going and whatever show my wife and I are watching, perfect.
You're checking all the boxes.
Every box.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Folks, you got to get a rover. I'll put the links to everything in the episode description. The TV, I'll put the Roku TV 55. I'll put the Rover and I'll put the cover.
It's just one. It's one of the necessary elements of summer smoking. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just don't mount a TV on the side of your house or the back of your house. You will have such limited utility.
Yeah. With limited viewing angle.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it's nice too. Like you know, to your point, when you have, when I'm sitting out there by myself, I have one setup. But when I have people over, I can move it around and I can rearrange the deck so that everybody has a great view of the screen, and it takes no effort.
Yeah, or you have two rovers with two TVs side by side. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
So let's get back to summer smoking in a second. I want to try the Whistle Pig rye whiskey that we have, 6 year aged.
Yep.
Let's try this thing, boys.
It's not a scotch.
It's not a scotch.
It's a whiskey.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I think it pairs well with this cigar.
Yeah, it does. I think you need something sweet with a stick like this. Yeah.
I think it's very good.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't reach for rye whiskey a lot, but I do dig this. I'm curious what Grinder thinks. He's very quiet.
I did not like it. I don't know.
Well, Grinder, you're not a rye guy.
I think you seem predisposed to dislike rye.
I think I need to continue on with, it's kind of like the tequila conversations we had. I just need to suck it up and
keep trying.
Take it down and then.
I think you need to try to retrohale it.
If I could, I would.
So this is 6 year aged. I know they have they have a 10 year, right?
Yep.
And they have some others. Have you guys had any other ages here?
I've had the 10 year. It's not as sweet as this. It's drier.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's nice.
The 10 year people are obsessed with.
Yeah. It's really quite nice. It's very dry.
We had a listener write us suggesting the Whistle Pig 10 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does this go for price wise? Do you remember?
Again, I think it was like maybe $67.
Okay.
Everything. I'm benchmarking everything with 67.
Hey, it could be 76.
It's stuck out in my mind for some reason.
To me, this tastes more like a $40.
It's lower. Yeah. It's lower than that. It's $47 on total wine.
It was a seven.
There you go.
Impressive, Gus.
Thanks.
My palate is becoming refined, as you know.
Indeed.
I think it's well refined.
Did we tell the wine story?
No.
Because that's what just made me think. You remember.
Wow. We did not tell the wine story. Okay. Can I set this up?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're at the lounge at our clubhouse. And one of our friends there brought out some wine. And he's a wine connoisseur. Travels to Napa a lot and other areas. What nice wine collection like Senator has. And he brings out a wine. And he wants Senator to try it without judging it, without knowing anything about it.
Blind taste.
So here I'm thinking that, you know, Senator's going to call out, you know, is it a Cab? Is it a Merlot, a Pinot, whatever it could be? This dude not only calls out exactly what it is, he calls out the specific small region of California.
What?
That the wine was made in.
What?
So I'll tell the note. So basically he pours this wine and he won't tell me what it is. I want you to just try and you tell me what you think. I smelled the nose of the wine. I said, it's definitely California. He said, correct. I take a sip of it and I say, it tastes just like Paso Robles. And he doesn't actually know what region in California it's from. So he's then reading the bottle and he goes, holy shit, it's from Paso Robles. He's like, how did you know that? Like, you got to drink a lot of wine. No, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, obviously I've drank a lot of wine. And then later on, we're enjoying it. And he goes, how much do you think this bottle goes for? Take another sip. I said about $60. Looks it up, $59.99.
What?
We have a sommelier.
Yeah, future sommelier. Ranks.
This validated for me, one of my life goals has become in retirement to try to actually like take the somm test and become a somm. This validated, like, I can do this.
Nice.
I was completely blown away.
That's cool.
It was very impressive.
You have to understand, in California, right, like, this isn't, first of all, if I would have said it's a Napa wine and it happened to be Napa, well, anybody can guess that. That would have been too easy. Right, Paso Robles is south of Napa. That's a very specific region with a very specific taste. There's so many, right? Sonoma, there's Santa Barbara, you know, Napa, Stag's Leap. There's so many different places, and it was just very characteristic of that region. And I actually don't particularly love wines from Paso Robles, but this wine was not an insane fruit bomb like most in Paso Robles. It was more balanced, so very much my speed. But it was very encouraging. It gave me a little added motivation.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
Turn off his mic now. He's done.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today.
Your recommendations have all been spot on. So,
yeah, you've never misled us. So going back to the summer thing, smoking cigars in the summer, you know, I think we're getting to that point now where, you know, the wind dies down at night, sitting outside having a nice cigar. I mean, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
It's the smell of summer to me. Oh, it's like Pilsner beer and cigars.
And petrichor in the morning after a nice
That's dew.
Right after the rain.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Kush bobini bini.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
So do you guys prefer in the summertime? Obviously, let's take wind out of the equation, right? Let's assume zero wind. Would you smoke outside in the summertime?
Well, it depends on the humidity.
Or inside.
The humidity. It really
humidity is your difference maker. Okay.
I mean, it's hard to smoke a cigar when it dew points at 90. Yeah.
The cigar changes composition when it gets that humid. Yeah. Like, it literally, you're out there for half an hour and it the construction literally changes.
Yeah. Well, I think wind is a bigger factor to me.
Yeah. That's
true. If it's not windy, I enjoy a cigar outdoors.
I do too.
I get, you know, I would rather smoke one outdoors than indoors. I mean, if there's no wind, comfortable out and there's no wind, less, you know, not a lot of humidity. I mean, I really enjoy that. Especially in the morning when the sun's out and have a cup of coffee.
Great cup of coffee.
Rooster's a big morning
really
guy.
Enjoy that.
Big morning cigar guy.
Yeah. Oh,
which I appreciate.
Morning cigar.
When you get out in the morning, you have that cup of coffee and you're like, you're just fresh off the day and you're like, let's go kick some ass, and you have that cigar.
Yep.
Just really hits the spot.
Especially now that the summer season's coming, when you make that coffee and you sit in the living room. God, I want a cigar right now.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Let's go right outside and light up.
I mean, I think the summer is just so ideal because, first of all, I think the summer is just generally a lot less windy than any of the other seasons. So yeah. There are some summer days or nights where there's some wind that's not ideal
where
for
cigars. Where we are.
But most of the time, it's great. The wind is minimal. It's perfect for a cigar. I think the only question just becomes, like, if it's 95 degrees, do I want to sit there in 95 degree weather and smoke? No.
You know, but typically in the morning, it doesn't quite get that hot.
No, not
later.
At all. That's so, true. Yeah. So not at all. And even sometimes in the afternoon, the high is only 80, you know, degrees or 85. And that's doable.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just when it creeps over that it gets to not be.
Yeah, I mean, it hit like in the 90s today in the afternoon.
Today.
But pretty early.
Yeah.
But I had one this morning and
Of course you did.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love smoking out on my deck. The one problem I have, just because there's a lot of woods around me, I don't know if you guys have this problem, but the bugs kill me. You know, and I'm up about 12, 15 feet in the air on my deck.
Not so in the morning.
Right. Here's another product that you need.
I have a great product. I'm curious what yours is.
I also have a great product.
Thermacell.
That's what I have.
Bingo.
Yeah, the Thermacell.
Right, there we go.
I love that thing. It's amazing.
It's great.
So we're talking about, are we talking about the same Thermacell? So this is the one. With the butane little thing and the blue little discs.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so I'm going to put that in the link too. We're going to set everybody up.
What does this tell me more?
It's okay,
awesome.
So
do you plug it in?
No.
Okay.
It's a little butane tank.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I've had the same tank. I'm in the second summer of the same tank. Like it does not burn through.
Right.
Yeah, it does not burn through fuel.
I mean, I spend a lot of time.
Yeah, that's true. You smoke more outside than I do.
Like a lot.
But so what it is it's a little unit that screws on to the butane tank. And then there's these little rectangular, I want to say a disc or a strip. Some sort of strip.
It's like a mosquito repellent?
Yes. Okay. And you stick it in, and it just, it's not very hot, but it heats up this disc that has this, repellent in it.
Right.
And it's very subtle. You don't really smell it too much. It doesn't let off a lot of smoke. But I'll tell you, the bugs disappear.
Do you put it on the floor or right?
No, I put it right next to me on a table, or I put it on a stool or something next to me, and I don't get bit because I'm very prone. I don't know what it is about my skin. When the gnats are out, like when I'm in Florida, if I don't have that thing, like it's a nightmare for me.
What's the radius like? Is it?
I think it's like 6 or 10 feet, maybe a little more than that.
I think it's more than that.
It could be more than that.
It's a pretty wide radius.
Yeah, it works great.
And you literally need like just one of them. My whole deck.
Yeah, sounds great. I have a product called the Dynatrap.
Oh yeah,
and that works pretty well.
So that attracts the bugs.
Yeah,
right. So you kind of have to keep it away from your
property. That's what you're supposed
property.
To do.
Keep it away. So that's that blue light, right?
Yeah, I put it like in the other end of the yard, away from the deck, and get them away from the patio.
I had that and I returned it.
Yeah.
Because it was attracting a lot of moths and everything else,
it does.
I mean, so when you clean it out, like you're probably killing a lot of the good bugs as opposed to bad bugs. You know, you just want to get rid of the mosquitoes, essentially. That's what you
I'm telling
want.
You, Thermacell, Amazon, Target, so easy to find. It's awesome.
Ben.
So I'll put that in the episode description too. But that, I think, is a crucial element to smoking outside. I take it to Florida with me too, which is way worse than it is here in the Northeast as far as bugs go. To Bam's point, when I'm in Florida in the summer, because I go for some time with family, I actually don't enjoy smoking outside as much as I do when I'm home here because of the humidity. It's just so intense at night even. And the bugs are another thing, but I get rid of that with the Thermacell. But, you know, I think we're fortunate up here that even in, July now, August, when the humidity is not crazy, it's really pleasant to smoke outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I got to say, even in our group here in the Lizards, I think some of the most memorable nights that we've had are these summer nights outside on the deck.
I love karaoke with the Lizards.
Grinder and I go off.
We know.
If you put on some Sticks or Fleetwood Mac, we just kind of get a little wild.
Yeah, we go off. But yeah,
how much is the Thermacell?
Oh, it's like $30.
Yeah, $30. And then the little perfect refills are actually they're not cheap. But
yeah, they're not.
They're like $20 for
That's actually very.
But
good.
It's so worth it. It's the best product.
That's
out
good.
There
I've been looking for something.
Great advice.
Just like that.
Great advice.
For me, it's just so handy. Like we like to entertain like outside a lot, like during the summer, and you're having like dinner with people. Like it just attracts like all these bugs. You put that thing on. you're in the clear the whole night.
That's great.
I got to tell you too. This is very deceptive. I forget what brand it is. It may be Off or other brands. They sell those citronella candles. So I had purchased them before this thermosol. Not only do they suck, Senator,
but there's one that's good. I'll tell you.
There's a line on a lot of them that says not intended to repel insects. Like quite literally,
what's the point of it?
That's exactly what it's for.
It's like you're buying a scented candle. It doesn't repel. It's like it's not the purpose of it. It's a little deceptive. So don't buy candles.
There is one candle that's fantastic. I discovered this either last summer or the one before. I've told many people about this. They've bought them. They have validated the exact same thing. It works extremely well. You know the brand Tiki that makes like the Tiki torches?
Yep.
Yep.
They make these candles. They're in like a steel canister, really thick, like wick in the middle. Not that, that's also what I hate about the citronella candles. It's like a tiny little candlestick wick that like the wind blows and it just goes out. This is like a thick, like a torch wick. You light that thing, the bugs go away, or if they're so stupid, they'll just fly straight in and die. It works wonders.
That's a good idea, too. I haven't tried that one. The only ones I've had are the shitty candles.
They sell out, though. That's the problem with them. Like, aggressively sell out.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer smoking, boys. It's here.
So, did you see any bugs in Greece, Senator?
Yeah, tell us about your trip.
Yeah.
So, Greece. Greece is a phenomenal place. So my wife and I, we went to Santorini last summer, had such an amazing time, and we knew immediately we wanted to come back to Greece, and we said at some point we'll come back here. And fast forward less than a year later, we were trying to figure out where to go, and sure enough, we said, now's as good a time as any, and we went right back to Greece. This time we went to Crete. Such a beautiful island. We stayed at this great place. Highly recommend the Blue Palace near Alunda Beach in Crete. And I mean, Greece, I love. I mean, Europe is fairly cigar friendly, but I feel like Greece especially, I just love. I mean, last year we went to Santorini. I remember sitting out by the pool and I'm smoking my cigar and I asked the guy for an ashtray. And usually when you're in Europe and you ask for an ashtray, they give you like a cigarette ashtray because so many Europeans smoke cigarettes. At this hotel, the guy brings out a proper cigar ashtray like any of us have at home. I was like, okay, that's a good sign. And when I was in Crete, sure enough, like they have this great patio that overlooks this island, Spina Longa, and every table has an ashtray already on it. I'm just this is perfect.
It's awesome.
And
that's great.
The hospitality is just top notch. I feel like for whatever reason, you know, people don't assume in Greece that the hospitality would be as exceptional as it is, and it really is. The food, obviously great. The wine, I've only more recently, as in like within the last, you know, roughly 5 years, started drinking white wine. I was exclusively a red wine drinker. My wife, when I met her, was exclusively a white wine drinker, and we've each rubbed off on each other. Now my wife appreciates red wine. I appreciate white wine. And Assyrtiko is a native grape in Greece. Absolutely fantastic. I don't like a sweet white wine. It's very bad. And you guys know my palate with wine at this point. It's very balanced, minerality, just really great on a hot summer day. And we visited a number. I think the best Assyrtiko is made on Santorini. So last year we went, we visited a number of vineyards, Domaine Sigala, Santo, and a few others. Domaine Sigalis, their Assyrtiko, if you can find it, awesome. And I know it's great because we have neighbors that are both Greek. And we had them over once for drinks and some hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And they had brought, I think, an Assyrtiko. And I've had that Assyrtiko. I think it's a good Assyrtiko. It's not a great Assyrtiko. And I said, well, you know, I have an Assyrtiko. I'd love for you to try it. And both of them tried it. And immediately the husband says, Senator's Assyrtiko is much better than the Assyrtiko that we brought. It's really an awesome bottle of wine. So I can't speak highly enough of Greece. And at this point, we already know we want to go back so many more times. So hopefully I'll be reporting in future episodes on many other Greek islands, but they're all fantastic. I cannot recommend visiting Greece enough.
I got to say, every photo that you sent could have been a desktop background.
Looked like a postcard.
Like, incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah, just incredible. Every view you have is just amazing. And it's nice that, you know, there's a D4 or a Padron or
in the foreground.
A late hour sitting on a glass of champagne or something. So
it was great. I also recommend, like, I mean, the Mediterranean is so beautiful. Like, we had rented a boat for sort of like a sunset cruise. The Greeks call it like a kayak. And it's like a sailing boat, a sailing yacht. And just went out in the Mediterranean. And oh my God, it was just so beautiful. There's not a single negative thing you could possibly find about Greece.
Did you have a cigar on the boat?
I did not.
Could you have?
Fire on the boat is bad, right?
No, they would have let me. Are you kidding me? In Greece, they let you do whatever you want. Out of respect for my wife, gotcha. I did that.
Well done.
Awesome. I am very envious. I want to go to Greece for sure.
Me too.
Yeah, we should do a lizard trip there. I'm not even kidding.
No, I would love to.
And I say that because I think the cigar prices in Greece are much, much more reasonable than almost anywhere in Europe. I mean, you go to like London, Paris, anywhere, and you try to buy a cigar. We've talked about this. A D4, no exaggeration, you'll pay like $40 US. Oof. A Monty 2, same thing. In Greece, I couldn't believe it. The hotel... And these are the hotel prices. They're always double like what you would find in a retail shop that you go in any of these countries. I couldn't believe they had a D4 for 24 euros, which at this point is $24. The euro and dollar are 1-to-1 almost. And so that's at a really nice hotel. If we were in some, you know, tobacco shop in Greece, that means it would have been half that, which is roughly what we get that stuff for online.
Right.
So I also think for procurement purposes, it would be very good for us to visit Greece and just stock up on a bunch of Cubans.
I like the way you think.
A 19-hour plane ride, though, right?
No. So the plane ride itself, I mean, JFK to Athens is a 9 to 10 hour flight, depending on it. It's quicker when you're going there. It's 9 hours. It's 10 hours when you're going back. You don't have the same tailwind. But when you factor in like an hour and a half to JFK,
right,
then you've got to transfer and take a flight from Athens to the island. And then from there, you know, you have a car take you to the hotel. So all of that is what factors in the extra time. But the flight to Athens is fine. It's just
you need like 2 weeks, at least 10 days.
Honestly, I really think you need a week. And I just say that because it's like so outrageously relaxing. Like after a week, I'm like, okay, like what do I do with myself at this point? Like I can only wake up in the morning and drink champagne at 9 a.m. Like,
oh, it sounds terrible. So how do you do that for more than a week?
Jesus. But the routine there is fantastic. I mean, you have to love it. You go to breakfast in Greece, it's like 10 a.m. It's like they just are bringing you, you know, glass after glass of champagne. I did appreciate most hotels I've stayed at in Europe. You know, you're like at breakfast and you say, oh, I'd like a glass of champagne. It's not real champagne. It's like some sparkling from a different part of France, or it's Prosecco or something else. I really appreciate it as a wine person. This hotel, I did not know this before going there, but I taste it. And as you now know, when my palate, I know what I'm drinking. I taste this and I said, holy shit, this is definitely real champagne. I didn't order anything in particular. I just said, bring me a glass of champagne. The hotel has partnered with a champagne house in Champagne, France. And they have their own champagne that's made that serves the whole hotel, which was very cool.
That's very cool.
So their house, you know, champagne or sparkling was actually really good. And then obviously I had plenty of.
I've heard, you know, a little bit about Greek coffees too. I mean,
coffee.
Right?
Oh, that stuff will keep you up. Yeah, I'm very caffeine sensitive. I've mistakenly had caffeinated like real Greek coffee. It's super like robust.
It's like rich,
flavor.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like
very
thick
rich.
But is it like Turkish?
Turkish coffee is like the most aggressive.
Right.
Right after that, though, would be Greek coffee.
Turkish coffee is the grinds are on the bottom.
The bottom, right. Yeah. Yep, right. I've made the mistake. I'll never forget when we went to the Maldives 1 year and I flew through Doha, Qatar. And when I was in Doha, I got like a Turkish coffee, and I didn't know any better.
Right.
So here I am, I'm just sipping this coffee, and I'm just going to lift the cup up to get the last drop, and holy shit, it's like sludge is in my mouth.
It's like sand.
It's literally sand. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the furthest end, but Greek coffee's not far off in strength. Right. It'll keep you up.
Awesome.
So very much your speed, Rooster.
That's great. Leaving tomorrow.
So, boys, we're coming in the last third here. of the Aging Room Quattro.
Yeah, no complaints.
I think it's pretty damn good.
Any hints of like caramel? Caramel.
I'm still getting pretty good raisin, deep raisin.
Like, tiny hints of like,
I can see that.
There.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I'm curious. We mentioned the El Senador before.
Yeah.
How does this compare to the El Senador in the last third? Because I think right now, I do think the last third is more satisfying to me than the EP Carrillo El Senador.
As of right this second. I think I have to agree with you. Yeah.
I'm enjoying it more here.
Yeah. It's smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very satisfying smoke all the way down.
Very surprising.
Yeah.
Totally surprising.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
Yeah. I think this is very good. I'm interested. You know, I would think that where I bought these, I think they've probably been sitting there for a little while. I'm curious if we were to buy a fresh box that was made yesterday, you know, it dropped in the tobacconist yesterday, if they would taste the same.
That wasn't placed in an aging room?
That was not placed in an aging room. Yeah, I think this is very, very good. So what do you guys think of the whistle pick as we're coming down to it?
It's pretty drinkable.
Yeah. It's not bad.
No.
I'm afraid to hear Grinder's score on this one.
Yeah, he's nodding his head.
Bam, you ready to give it the formal liquor rating?
Sure. I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
I think that's a respectable score for this spirit.
Okay. Pagoda.
7 for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in the same camp as 7. There's nothing great about this to me, but there's nothing offensive. It just checks enough boxes.
Exactly right.
I agree. I'm with you. 7. I was thinking that from the first sip. Hit me right as a 7.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would buy it. I think it's fair at that price, but
yeah.
Grinder.
I'm giving it a 6. I would have given it a 5, but there's nothing bad about it to previous points. I just don't like this kind of whiskey that much.
The Composite Lizard score, boys, is a 6.8.
And that's also why, you know, Giz, when you were saying what you were, I think if you're someone who likes rye, you'll definitely like this. There's nothing offensive or wrong with this.
Right.
I don't really seek out rye. So for me, if this was all someone had and I was smoking a cigar, would I have this with it? Sure. I that would be fine. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But there's nothing that brings me back wanting to pick this bottle up again.
Right, right.
I do think it was a good pairing, though, with the cigar.
I do, too.
It didn't clash with the cigar for me. I thought it was perfectly fine.
Agreed.
So we're coming to the end here, boys, of the cigar. Aging Room Quattro. Espressivo.
Taking it down.
Taking it way down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying it, man. I'm curious what the score is going to end up like.
Pagoda's done with his, I think.
Is he?
No. I have a couple.
You're there.
I have an inch.
He's never done.
I'm never done.
You guys ready to do the formal lizard rating? Rooster, you're up.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow.
Whoa.
Look at that.
I can't believe
this. It's a really good stick.
It is really good.
I mean, considering the price point and I'm smoking this all the way down, I really enjoyed it. And it's a cigar that you can enjoy any time of the day.
Yeah.
It's not overly powerful. It's got great notes. You know, it's like rich, woody, chocolatey.
Yeah.
Getting a little hints of caramel. I mean,
it's quite the score.
I wanted to give like an 8 point something, but I think I'm like in between. So I'm like, all right,
sure.
Give it a 9.
That is the most surprising score in 30 something episodes of the pod.
But it's not shocking because of how surprising the cigar is tonight.
Everything
really
Rooster said, I agree with.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Grinder.
I'm giving it a 9. And I think I'm giving it a 9 because I know I want a box of these. And I know I've never smoked this cigar before. And I can see myself smoking this on a regular basis.
I'm having a difficult time because I'm enjoying it. I'm going to give it an 8. I don't think...
You're prejudiced.
No, I'm not. Because because of the other cigars that I would rate a 9 and have rated a 9, I think that this one is just a step below that. I think it's a high 8, but it's an 8 for me. Senator?
You made this harder for me, Giz. Because I'm in between an 8 and a 9, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of us. So was I. But, you know, to me, like, for a New World stick, And for the price point, I mean, this just checks all the boxes.
It's pretty damn good.
With
and
you.
And
with
I,
you.
As I have two kids going into college.
your score is tainted.
Now, keeping all of that aside, and I think this...
Yeah, I mean, when you have the flavor notes in this, you know this is exactly what Rooster would look for in a New World stick. And I think I lean in exactly the same direction in the sense, and I think I probably gave the El Senador a 9.
You did. Yeah.
And I would put these both next to each other.
Yep.
I think there's a ton of merit in both cigars. And I said this about the El Senador, and I'll say this about this cigar. You know, I feel like all of us for years have chased other New World cigars that smoke similar to Padron, similar flavor profile. We know we like that. And I think this does. And the price point is outrageous. I think the construction, I think, is excellent. I think, you know, Grinder said earlier, like, you know, invisible seams. I mean, it's really, really well done. The burn, razor sharp. I mean, some of us have had a, you know, inch or two of ash just hold on. And even in the final third, which is always the decisive point in a cigar for us, there's nothing offensive here. This is very good. So I'm at a 9.
All right.
Same here. Senator and I, we've discussed this before in a Patron episode, maybe. I've always found, like, and maybe because I've tried different vitolas of the Aging Room, which I've always found to be slightly loosely packed. For some reason, this is just right. I think in the Robusto, I think it works really well. I have really enjoyed this cigar from the very beginning, and really good flavors. Definitely a 9 for me.
Yeah, it's also a 9 for me. I think it's worthy of that score. And for the listener, I think it's an absolute purchase. Definite recommend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Composite Lizard score, boys, is an 8.8.
Fantastic.
Wow. I think that's perfect.
Shocking.
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good cigar.
Yeah.
Strong recommend.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad we did this because I cannot say enough bad things about this in the Torpedo. I mean, it was all to the... I didn't enjoy that so much. I said I would never smoke another Aging Room. And, you know, we're forced to give this a go. And I'm really glad we did because I would absolutely smoke this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I will say about this is that from the beginning, it started for me... The journey through the cigar kind of picked up, you know, all the way through. And in the last third, to everybody's point, really held its own. It really stayed strong through, you know, through the end. So.
Yeah, my experience is a little different. I really had great flavor right from the get-go.
I'm not saying that it was bad flavor. I just think it picked up in strength and got a little more full as it went along, you know, and it never got hot.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm one of the, when I smoke a cigar, I invariably do not take it this low, ever.
Look at you.
And I can't help it. I just want more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get some of these.
By the way, just one more comment. You know, we were talking about AJ Fernandez earlier. You know, the Monte Cristo 1935, which we did, that was also collaborated with AJ. And if you really think about the flavor profiles, they're very similar to this.
I'm glad that you mentioned that cigar because I think it was actually a friend of ours. We were having this conversation at the lounge who... described, I think, with all the hype that Monte Cristo 1935 by A.G. Fernandez was dubbed the Padron killer, that was meant to be the most Padron-like cigar, and that is not. This is as close to a Padron as I think I've probably ever had.
Yeah. For how much?
I you can find them anywhere between $8.50 to $12, $13.
It's absurd.
I mean, it's great.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great price on this cigar.
Yeah, love discovering a cigar like this.
Yeah, it's great. You know, to Senator's point, I would probably have never tried this cigar had it not been for the pod.
Yeah, and everything from the price point and availability makes it very approachable for many, many cigar guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I will definitely be picking some of these up.
100%.
All right, boys. An 8.8 for the Aging Room Quattro Espressivo. And awesome. Thanks so much. Grinder, thanks for the whistle pig. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to leave us a rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. If you have any comments, questions, if you want to reach out, say hello, tell us what you're smoking, email us, loungelizardspod, P-O-D, that's loungelizardspod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram, @loungelizardspod. We really appreciate your time, and we'll see you next week.